Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Good evening, everybody, and hi, Jackie.
Ronnie likes to keep me on the edge of my seat with technical problems at the last minute, and I go, ah!
We're just testing your adrenaline, darling.
Okay, well, trust me, I've got plenty of that going tonight. Tonight's show, bringing the puzzle pieces together, abductions, detainments, who are they and why? Where is all this going, and am I one?
That
tonight we discuss
question.
And prepare for a phenomenal guest next week whose story will bring more clarity to all our questions. And I really believe it's time to hit these questions head on and step out of the fear and the confusion. And it's just simply time. It's time for us as a species. It's time for all of us as listeners and speakers. And
it's, you know, it's making a lot of sense. It's going to be very exciting, very interesting, and makes sense.
Well, that's the goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, Veronica knows I kind of give birth to this stuff as we go through it. And, you know, my goal is to bring information forward in the cleanest, clearest possible way, with the greatest amount of love and integrity for both sides, you know, this side of the veil and the other. We have a responsibility, at least I feel very definitely I do, and I know Veronica believes that as well. We have a real responsibility to try to take both sides into consideration as we bring the information forward.
Mm-hmm.
So as always, tonight I'm going to read a couple of emails that are always interesting from our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
You bet.
Let's see. Tonight's show, this is last week, inspiring, and I'm glad you mentioned the experiences of physical changes and emotional. This past week, I had a rash from hell on my left arm and redness like I've been laying out in the sun for hours on my front and back of my upper body. Where did this come from and when, when and I'm not one to sunbathe, is my question. I had sun blisters on my left arm, and trust me, I was miserable. Also, I felt it necessary to keep my mouth shut around anyone that I thought could push my buttons until I felt better. That was a good choice. They were wondering why I was so quiet, but I felt it better this way, this past week and now, or something else. I find myself feeling now that I'm through that a little more social and a little more giving of my time and energy. You know, we've been riding this energy wave for a while. I also see people that I would not normally socialize with want to socialize with me. People that love to drink alcohol and party, and people that I generally stay away from. I see myself not really judging them for where they are. I'm here in their presence for some reason, hopefully to bring light to them. They're fascinated by me all of a sudden, and I feel like I'm opening up to all kinds of people. I'm giving more to people that need my help, where in the past I would have put my fears first. Less about me and more about them. This is a new way of being for me. Let's see. By the way, what is the lady's email that you gave at the beginning of the program that gave the predictions? She is right on the money, Star Child something, and I don't happen to have that with me right now. I'm happy for your son. How great for him and for you. This gives you both more energy for new things to come in for you, better things. So what do you think about the rash I suddenly got? Wild. We're going to start seeing more of this, I think, for those of you that are participating in these detainments. This stuff can happen. And it is a phenomena of being aboard ship with those that are, you know, with the Greys. This is not something that happens with my team, just so you all know. This is her second email. I didn't have time to respond to the first one. The show is great, by the way, and to the point last week was hell for me physically and emotionally. Again, I was very irritated. I got this incredibly bad rash when the sun wasn't even out on the sun, in the sun. My whole front breast and belly were red. Figure that one out. Let's see. I was wondering if I didn't visit a spacecraft at night to get a rash this bad, and the answer is yes. It's healing now. It was just bizarre. I'm glad Pluto has gone direct. That will help the energies, and yes, it did. We're still riding the White River rafting, though. Also, I got out of the blue. I get an invitation from several people I used to sing with about 30 years ago in another city, and they all want to get together. Again, some of them love to eat and drink and get drunk and have a good time, which is, you know. I've changed so much, however, that there's a part of me that wants to go and another part that I'm not sure that I'm ready for this. Let's see. I'm in a tizzy about what to do. Any suggestions? Is this a typical thing to come up at this time with everything else going on? The answer is yes.
This comes up from the past, doesn't it? It really sort of checks out your old floods of memory and old reactions.
Oh, I think that we're definitely being touched by all this, and I think we're having to be more discerning about what we do with our time right now. It's not about having judgment on anything. It's about, from my own personal perspective is, you know, where do I choose to spend time with people now? There's so much going on for us internally as we're going through this huge transition and as well as going through the ascension process. I think we're all having to be more discerning about what we do with our time.
Well, I want to say something that might be mildly interesting and certainly is maybe a synchronicity. But whenever I work with people or I get together with people and healing is required, I get these intense hot flashes, you know, and I've had the other kind of hot flashes. But these are really bizarre and sometimes leave a kind of a rash in me. And I often think, like when she's talking about the red rash, I'm going, isn't it when we are blasted with a shifting energy and our body energies begin to shift and transform, it can actually boil up old energies.
Yes, and that's a really good point, Ronnie, and I would agree with that. And I've had both, so, you know, I would have to say you could be absolutely right. Every once in a while I'll get some manifestation that there's absolutely no rhyme or reason for. I have one right now on my back.
And I get them in a social environment when people are, it's kind of embarrassing, when people have something going on and I just hit it and my energy starts to whirl and then I start bursting into sweats and weird rednesses and then it moves away.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Well, it's kind of embarrassing, but it's also amusing.
Well, and I'm getting a lot of reports from people having these experiences, especially in the dream state, people that are long past menopause as well. And, you know, just to confirm for everybody that if you're waking up during the night and you're hot, you're cold, you're hot, you're cold, don't be surprised. It is part of the process we're going through right now.
I think it's boiling out the old stuff.
Yes, definitely. And our frequencies are very high in the dream state right now because we're doing a lot more interacting on the other side of the veil, far more than we've ever done before. And I kind of monitor my body temperature and my responses during the night because I'm up and down so much. And I know when I'm traveling, where I've been, what I'm doing anymore, it's getting to the point where it's kind of getting to be funny. Another one, dear Jackie and Ronnie, rats, I've not been able to listen completely to your radio show from last week as the archive recording was partially abducted. Therefore, I won't be able to add my usual sarcastic comments of a humorous slant to tonight's show. But I do have a question. What do you believe happened to Steve Fawcett? This is the pilot that disappeared out of Vegas. The pilot who's been missing in the Nevada desert since September 3rd. Is it possible that he has left the earthly plane? No pun intended. Is there a Nevada-Bermuda triangle now? And was he abducted? Would love to know and hear your thoughts. Love to you, Squirrel. Well, just so you know, Squirrel, Angela Thompson, who's a very famous remote viewer, has her whole team. She lives in Las Vegas. Has her whole team, actually in Boulder City, has her whole team right now working on the location of Steve Fawcett. So was he abducted? I don't have a clue at this point. I'm having a hard time just making sure that I know where everything in the house is. and making sure that I make it from one room to the other. Hi, Jackie. Was listening to last week's show and found for myself that when something happens to me and I get the information later, it was about deja vu and choices. This is a very good email, by the way, and this stuff is going to start happening more and more, and it's been happening to me. We have tall steps in our home, more like a ladder that goes up to our loft. Over the last 3 years living here, I've fallen off a couple of times, hitting the concrete floor with a thump. This is somebody you know, also running. One of the times I had my little dog in my arms as I would carry him up at night and down in the morning. Two or three weeks ago, I woke no dog to carry as he's changed his physical beingness. I began coming down the stairs. I missed the last step and felt myself falling. My arm grabbed the railing, and I swung around, still holding on with a grip I never knew I had. I then saw myself from where I was standing, looking down at myself, falling. There I was on the floor in a pool of blood, head cracked and open. My mind raced. Everything was in bright color. I began thinking of my husband coming home after his trip and finding me, the dogs being locked in the house with me, and the body on the floor. I saw all this from above the body that was still gripping the railing in a now moment. So was this a choice that could have been a parallel life? Was it a part dying off, or D, all of the above? It still gives me the woogie waggies at times, not of me, from my husband and critters. Love the show. P.S. Rats spelled backwards is stars.
Great.
Okay, I just want to make a comment here. I don't know about your experiences, Ronnie, but I have been having this kind of experience very intensely for the last couple of weeks, where literally different realities, as I go to do something, are flashing before me, potential realities of the same experience. And I'm finding it quite fascinating. Some of it has fear stuff attached to it. Some of it does not. What is happening is we're shifting dimensionally, and all possibilities are all of a sudden showing up, and it can kind of undo you. Just, again, be the matador. Just let it go by you. Recognize it for what it is. You know, her question is it a choice that could have been a parallel life? And the answer is yes to all the above. It can become a parallel as a choice that could have been. Any comments from you, Ronnie, on this one more than what I...
No, I think that I'm having it... I was thinking that I'm having it a little bit differently, in that there's this kind of whirling sense of possibilities. Not that I'm seeing the pictures, but I'm seeing... the reality slipping around, and I kind of grab it and try to hold it together. So I feel like I'm agreeing with what you say. My experience is slightly different. Energies are moving very fast. It's exciting.
It's very exciting, and again, we're just kind of... the goal here is staying in the now moment, I was talking to my son tonight about, because he kept saying, you know, Mom, how great my memory is, and I'm losing it. And I said, well, you'll be fine. I said, really what it's like is having a governor on your, you know, a moving van. I don't, for anybody who's ever, you know, driven a moving van, a lot of them have a governor on the accelerator that you can't exceed a certain speed. And basically that's what's happening right now, a governor on our mind, if you will, so that... to try to snap us back into the now moment. So if some of the past experiences all of a sudden disappear, of course, everybody knows. For me, I have a language, you know, where I, when I'm working in those frequencies during the day and I come out at night to try to do something, I laugh because my access to language is so limited. I'm good in the morning.
So it's nothing to do with age, Jackie.
No, I don't ever feel it as age. That's the least of my worries. This is a great letter that I'm going to read.
I want to ask you a question. Is what is the governor? Is it just the limitations that we have cellularly that keep us here? Is that the governor? Is this something we should...
Governor right now is keeping us in the now moment, and access to past experience is starting to fall away. You know... somebody asked Bashar once, you know, do you know if you've ever had extramarital sex while you're married on as a Sani? And Bashar's answer was, no, not until the lifetime's over. And I, you know, these little tidbits that I've gotten over the years have always stayed with me because I consider them to be very important pieces of how the experiences are.
But my question is, what is the governor? Is that a cellular thing or is that influence? Or what is that?
The governor that I see right now, Ronnie, is the one that is keeping us snapped back into the now moment.
But who does it?
It feels to me very much like a the part of the process of moving in multidimensionally is that you would, the possibility to lose, in other words, to let go in order to be able to open up to your multidimensionality to all experience at the same time. If you're constantly going back into past memories and this and that, your ability to open up and be able to take all information at the same time becomes more limited.
So the governing is our self and our...
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. I'll think about that.
Okay, this email, and I'm sharing this one because I find it fascinating. I love it because it came through directly to a client, a brand new client. This is someone who very much wants to be an ET healer, and they had a session 2 days ago. And I get many requests for this. You know, I've said a long time that at some point I will teach this. They have not given me the go-ahead as of yet, or I would be teaching. So this is her letter. Thank you and the team for a great session yesterday. I spent the rest of the day being on an energetic high that was hard to come down from. I think I forgot how it felt to actually feel good. When I woke up this morning, early as usual from hot flashes, I felt my energy had shifted back to 3D patterns. I found myself feeling frustrated and a bit depressed because the team said I wasn't yet ready to do ET healing. An anger set in, and on my way to my first patient's home, I began a dialogue with my guides and possibly the team from yesterday. Can't be sure. I commented on how nothing would make me happier than to do this work. I feel I've worked towards this my whole life in a variety of ways. I could almost see the little girl in me having a tantrum of sorts mentally. The logical woman in me understands the practicality of developing these skills and relationships in slow and careful ways. The child in me just wants it all now. I heard an inner dialogue begin with the same voice I heard yesterday stating, "Dear one, we see your intentions clearly and love you for them. Since this project began, we have also been learning the best way for this work to take place. Having lost Adrian much sooner than we expected, we realized that we were moving ahead too quickly. You see, our desire to do this great work is as strong as yours, and in our haste, Adrian suffered. This was by sole contract, however, so we could learn the best and safest ways to bring our Earth teams forward without harm. That being the prime directive, do no harm. We understand your impatience and want you to know that careful planning doesn't negate your participation. Your body must be ready and able to handle the infusions of energy that we must use to make this work for the highest good of all concerned. The first task of anyone who desires to do this work is to love yourselves first, capital letters. This is the only way we can conduit the healing energies and love through you to your future patients. We know these words are difficult to hear and even more difficult to put into action. But without your self-love, the universal love we share through you will cause a short circuit, and our treatments much less effective, if not dangerous. It is because of our great love and admiration of you that we ask what we ask in your preparation for the ambassadorship you so lovingly request. The energy you felt for the rest of the evening was an infinitesimal amount of residual energy that was left from our connection through the channel. Multiply that a million times and you can have an understanding of the frequencies that we speak of for this work. Adrian taught us a great deal, as we have all the others, who are involved in this project. The most important lesson being careful, planning and timing is crucial. Do not lose heart and stay the course. You will meet your goals, as will we. We love you all. Needless to say, I was humbled by this loving commentary. Now, I want you all to understand, this came directly through to her, not through me. Although the voice was the same as the one that she heard during the session through me. It dawned on me that I was feeling most angry with myself for having allowed my body to become overweight. I've allowed my addictions to sweets and carbs to placate a wounded heart for short-term gain and sabotage my long-term desires. Another aspect of shame to transmute. Now, trust me, they did not say to her, you can't do this because you're overweight. That wasn't it. It was all about self-love. The third dimension is very good at dangling those carrots in front of us as a means to keep us in 3D. My temper tantrum was a classic demonstration of third-dimensional behavior that keeps us from self-love and long-term benefits. In the meantime, I have my heart on my goal to be an ET healer and intergalactic ambassador for peace. Thank you, Jackie, and the team for all you do. Love and blessings. So I thought that was something that a lot of people have been waiting to hear. It was really thrilling to me that it came through someone else. Any comments, Ryan?
I really liked it. It was a good instruction.
And just so people understand that this exploration for me has been really a struggle. And I'm on the table every day. I do two sessions in the morning. I'm on the table for an hour. I do two sessions in the afternoon. I have been close to the edge of death so many times it's not even funny.
But is that a requirement?
No, that's the goal, is that everybody doesn't have to do it the way I did it.
Okay.
But as all of you who've been listening to the shows for any period of time know, that as we've walked through shame and the shadow, I am not without, you know, my intention has been to build protocols, okay, and to bring forward a body of work that was teachable to people who had sufficiently healed so that they don't have to do it the way I did it. Suffering is not the goal. Trust me.
You're breaking the ice, breaking through.
That's it. You know, if you're going to make a map, make a good one. All right, so on to tonight's show, and I'm very excited about this information. This is, as Ronnie knows, I start pacing when I have to do something like this. This has been going through my physical body now for a week, actually a little more than that. And at Ronnie's request, Ronnie said, I think you need to tell people about your relationship with Adrienne DeVere and John Mack before you go into who's going to be our guest next week and why all this came about. So as quickly as possible, I'll just kind of explain that when all this happened to me, I had a visitation. It was a very powerful visitation. And I was basically told to go to the UFO Congress, and I went online because my perception of that was a bunch of people walking around with little triangles on their head and stuff, which, you know. And I saw a picture of Dr. John Mack, and I was riveted. This went through my soul. The recognition of this man, Dr. John Mack, a Harvard professor, a Pulitzer Prize winner, I knew him. I knew him so strongly that I was driven to meet him. So I went to the UFO Congress. I booked out 9 days, which was very unusual for me. I'm a workaholic by nature. And at night I would sit with the agenda for the following day and say, do I want to listen to this one? Is that one important? And I would just wait for the insights. And Adrienne DeVere did his presentation, and Adrienne DeVere, one of my mentors, he and John Mack both became mentors to me. Adrienne was there from Israel and presented his work as an ET healer. The moment he began to talk, the moment he got up on stage, I could see everything, and I had phenomenal experiences during his presentation. That night, I had an experience where I was taken before a council. My whole life was laid out, my first abduction experience, how it had been screened and why, how every experience in my life had been co-creatively designed to bring me to that now moment, the way I walked, talked, looked, acted, all the foster homes, everything, all part of a very major design. I woke up crying. This went on actually all night long. I woke up crying. I hurried, jumped in the shower, ran downstairs to find Adrian to tell him. And he put his hand on his chest, and he blanched backwards, and he said, "Oh, my God, that's what happened to me." He knew instantly that I was to do this work. I didn't get it. And he, you know, wanted to put me immediately on his website, which he did as soon as he got back to Israel. John Mack did not attend the conference, but the screening of his movie, Touched, happened during the conference. And this movie is available online. It's called Touched. And if anybody needs any more information on that, you can search Dr. John Mack. It's available on his website, the John Mack Institute. I was riveted, needless to say. This was it's a documentary about some of his patients and their experiences, their abduction experiences. As soon as I left the UFO Congress, I was home for 2 or 3 days and immediately went to San Francisco where the film was screening again at a private screening, which I arranged to be invited to. And the minute I met John, I knew him. We ended up in the same hotel, certainly through no design of mine, consciously. I ended up spending the evening sitting with he and the producer and co-producer. The four of us were together. It was really quite astounding. And at the end of the screening, they were all standing up, fielding questions. The people who attended were all therapists, the majority of them, and also screenwriters and directors. There were about 50 people there. And several questions were posed to John, and he made a statement which absolutely, again, riveted me, and I knew it to be true. He said, most of my patients have told me that they have seen me aboard ship during their abduction experiences. Interestingly enough, he never wrote that statement anywhere. It is available on film through the group that was putting this on. I probably should have ordered it. I had an opportunity to sit and have coffee with him the next morning, and I did not know that that would be the last time I ever saw he or Adrian alive. Adrian went back to Israel. I began this work not out of design. I came to Las Vegas. I was living in California to present Adrian's material. And at a friend of mine's home and to a group of her friends, I had a series of experiences that were beyond phenomenal, and they were nonstop from the moment actually I left the UFO Congress. And I was told that I was to move here and that I was to do this work. And I was like, I was in commercial real estate. How am I going to do this? I know nothing about the human body. They told me to find a home immediately. We walked into this home, and they were already building the clinic.
They were building it?
In the home that we went to see. And the same being that had followed me back to my room after Adrian's presentation was up there building the clinic. When I walked in, she turned around, looked at me, and telepathically said, "Well, what took you so long?"
Was she a physical being or an etheric being?
Well, dimensional, but I could see her and I could hear her.
Hmm.
And she stayed with me the whole week in at the UFO Congress. I mean, I was laughing with everybody. She was in there trying my clothes on. things were geared very much to push me forward, and so from a dimensional standpoint, in the beginning I actually saw far more than I do now. Now I have very strict protocol in my house that I don't like to be distracted. And there are a number of reasons for that. John Mack, and I will just say that John wrote a book called Abduction in, I believe, 88. Kind of took the country by storm. He was brought to the abduction experience by, I don't remember, Bud Hopkins. And Bud tends to take the negative side of this, which I do not appreciate. John Mack never did. John came to see the spiritual side of the abduction phenomena. He spent the last 10 years of his life devoting himself totally. They tried to drum him out of Harvard. He went through tremendous hardship as a result of his work.
What was he teaching in Harvard again, psychiatry?
Yes.
Yeah.
He created an institute called Peer for people having experiences. John was an amazing person, as was Adrian. Adrian died immediately after I began my work. He died in June of 2004, and John died in September.
And you actually met them only personally once, but were very tied with them after.
Yes. I still handle Adrian's email, and John and I were writing back and forth. The last email I'd received from him, he said, "What can I do to help you?" Because I was in such overwhelm after Adrian died. I had written to both of them and said, "Somehow the three of us are connected. There is a triad of energy between us. I don't understand any of this. I just know that it is." Adrian died, and he was in the clinic for weeks. I could not understand Adrian, interestingly enough. I could not hear him. He went to everyone I knew that was psychic to convey messages to me. He was very concerned about my safety, and about the frequencies, which, of course, if you, based on that email that I got yesterday, it makes perfect sense, or today. When John died, he came to see me within 12 hours of dying, and he said to me, "Stop crying, get it together. You've got to become more of a clinician. Start keeping client files. Duplicate your." He was very specific, just ba-boom, ba-boom, very matter-of-fact, in a very loving but very, you know, clinical way. And I immediately stopped crying and knew that I absolutely had to do what he said. And, of course, I do keep total client files. I duplicate every session. I don't share them with people. They're all archived. But my concern has always been, if anything happened to me, that the work would go on. So that takes us to a very interesting man who I'm planning on having on, and we are, on next week's show. Jim Sparks. The last UFO Congress, which was February or March, I saw where Jim had spoken. I was not able to attend. I ordered his DVD. I had a sensing about Jim that here was somebody who really had something to say. 95% recall of 20 years of experiences. This is unheard of in this phenomena. I never was able to get his DVD. They sent me one. It had someone else on it, even though it was labeled Jim Sparks. I'm still going back and forth with UFO Congress, still trying to get the darn DVD. week ago Sunday, I was reading the Journal of Abduction Research, which I belong to and try to keep my finger on what's going on. And although I'm generally pretty much opposed to most of those therapists that are involved, unfortunately, I don't necessarily agree. A lot of people are into the fear side of this. And most therapists go into a very light hypnosis, not down into the somnolistic state, which is what Dolores Cannon does. I do use her technique. I've studied with her. And Dolores will be the first to say she's done over 1,000 regressions, never found any fearful experiences at that level for anyone. Even though they translated them through their consciousness as fearful, once they were regressed to that level, they were able to see the truth of what they experienced, and there was no fear. And for those of you who are listening for the first time tonight, Dolores Cannon, a phenomenal writer. Her books, The Custodians and Convoluted Universe, Book 1 and 2, I recommend highly. They're on my website as recommendations and where to buy them. At any rate, I'm reading this synopsis of Jim Sparks' book, commentary by a therapist, and I'm loving the stuff she's quoting out of the book, and I'm going, this makes perfect. This guy is not only right on, he's real. I hear a click on my computer, which meant I had a message. I get up, and here's a message from a mutual friend of ours saying, would you like to have Jim on the show? And I went, all right.
A message.
Yes. As I know, these things are always orchestrated. And the comment was, I think this would be good for Jim and good for you. We set up a meeting. We had a telephone conversation last week. What I found interesting, and this is when I know that things are very real, is that we were able to, in the telephone conversation, I was picking up pictures as well as hearing his words. I was being given pictures. Now, I only have that experience with one other person, and this is the daughter of my best friend who opened when I did, and who's had phenomenal encounters. And while I was at the UFO Congress meeting Adrian DeVere, she was having experiences. So this is the only other person I've ever had this experience with, which is a total indication of his experiences. When he's projecting pictures as well as talking with me. So we basically kind of talked in crib notes almost. I could not only hear what he was saying, but I saw pictures, so it was coming through faster than he was speaking it. He was here Saturday night, and it was quite a phenomena. I had not read his book. We have some very interesting phenomena in the house. And I generally have a house full anyway, but they were here in force prior to meeting him. Interestingly enough, I started having encounters, and I actually called them in and said, okay, I want to meet with some councils and see where we're going with this. What, you know, what's the agenda? You know, what's my role? What does this mean? You know, is it time to bring this forward in a more concentrated form?
Is this with Jim in the house, or is this just him?
No, this is prior to meeting Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And I found all the encounters very loving, very supportive, that this, it was in fact time to bring this forward, that this was supported on all levels. And by the way, as I'm talking to you on the phone, there's all kinds of noises going on in the house, so I'm laughing. We have a full house tonight as well. So Jim came. We had an experience. We were outside talking. A helicopter manifested over the house, did not come to the house, did not leave the house, was over the house, was gone. We had the wind participating. We had beings all over the house. It was really quite an interesting time. As it turns out, John Mack wrote the foreword for his book. And I'm just going to read you one piece here, which I think is very important. This is an excerpt from the foreword. The purpose of his schooling seems to be twofold: to create a hybrid race as an insurance policy for the future, and to awaken us to our mindless destructiveness so that we may halt the devastation we are bringing to Earth. Sparks' articulate and moving expression of his awakening of consciousness in elation to this danger, a different point of view in sharp contrast to earlier feelings, which appears to be the core significance of the abduction experience for him and so many others, gives his book power and importance. The human race is isolated in the cosmos by ignorance. He has learned not ready to join the intelligent life. he has learned, not ready to join the intelligent life that exists in other realms and too dangerous to be set free in the universe to do as we please. As Sparks has moved beyond his resentment, he has come to feel quite fortunate to have somehow been chosen to participate in such a great adventure. He is unwavering in his conviction that we must heed the being's warnings in order to stop the destruction of the environment and the death of the planet.
And does he say we can do that?
I'm sorry?
He says we can do that?
Of course. I mean, you know, there are many levels, you know, but one of the things that we discussed the night he was here, is, and this is a further quote, tells of our failed stewardship, I love this, of this magnificent planet. Now, you know, when he's on next week, he's going to talk about, he went from abductee and from schooling to co-participant, to having free reign aboard ship, to being able to see the different agendas. He was interacting with the grays. Now, he and I differ slightly in certain areas in terms of the small grays. He sees them as robotic, or I tend to see them more as a hive mentality operating under a prime directive, not autonomous. They are fascinated by us because we are part of a collective and yet autonomous at the same time. One of the things that he participated in is that there are group abductions going on. I can tell you that probably none of you have been part. Well, you may have been part, but certainly not now.
You mean they're not doing them now?
Oh, they are doing them.
So why do you think people listening might not?
Well, because if you're listening to this show, you've got a consciousness. You're already looking at how am I participating on this planet? What can I do to make it better? In other words, you are awake. You may have had experiences in the past in terms of these group abductions. The group abductions, and as Jim said, as many as 1,000 people at a time, sitting before rows and rows and rows and rows of computers, shown pictures of Earth and its potential destruction. You know, I'm going to let him go into some of the more vivid details of these because these experiences are enhanced. The computer screens are interactive and tend to have some form of consciousness similar to HAL, if you will, on 2001. But those triggers right now are going off for people, and that's one of the reasons that they are pushing me to bring him on the show, is that those triggers are going off in people's subconscious minds. A sensing of, I'm here to do something, and it's big. A sense of urgency in terms of helping the Earth. A sense of being appalled at man's inhumanity to man and animals. And, Ronnie, we talked about this earlier tonight.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a few questions about the grays before we go into the animals?
Yes.
It seems
that
when we're talking about hive mentality, it's easy for me to nod and understand. And then I'm sort of thinking, well, if, for example, they're working with a group abduction, does that mean that whichever grays are working with the group at the time, what they learn flows right through the entire hive? I mean, is that how it works? That their consciousness sifts through?
Okay, the way Jim interprets it, I can tell you, and again, it's easier for me to quote him than it is for me just to give it all to you from me.
Mm-hmm.
When we work with beings on the other side of the veil, because past, present, and future are all now, we can be dealing with different beings from the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. So this can tend to complicate things a little. Interactions with the grays, and, you know, Jim describes them as, he calls them robotic. Dolores Cannon has referred to this as well. In my personal conversation with Bashar, he went to the other description.
What was the other description?
The one I just gave. Hive mentality operating under a prime directive without being aware of their own autonomy.
Okay.
The taller grays Jim refers to as the true extraterrestrials, their frequencies are totally different than the small gray. They have more authority. Their energies and frequencies are much different. Even when they walk into a room, they radiate a completely different energy field. I am aware of this.
And there are more autonomous?
Oh, definitely more autonomous. Mm-hmm. And they carry more of an individuality even in their looks. Their eyes are not as large as the small grays, who tend to have the very large almond eyes. Mm-hmm. Although I do know people who have had relationships with the small grays, Liz Larkin, who has written two books in her experiences with the small grays. One is called, I think, Talking with Extraterrestrials, and the other one's Calling on Extraterrestrials. I know I actually met Liz at the same time I met Adrienne DeVere. I'm going to say this again. People's experiences can be very individual. I want to share this because this is the breaking piece. This is where the dividing line comes in. And this, I think, probably is why it's difficult to bring this information through. People are terrified of reptilians. They associate reptilians with evil. They associate them with control of government. They associate them with horrendous acts of aggression. I have had several meetings with one with a council, and Jim will talk about that as well. They have not been allowed to participate in the work that I'm doing. And basically, we've had meetings in terms of, okay, let's sit down, let's look at these agendas. What does all this mean? You know, what do you bring to the table? Is there a loving agenda? Jim was testing me and asking me questions in our visit over the weekend. And he said, do you believe that the reptilians are part of the covert government? And I said, no, I just don't. I don't sense that. I think that this is something that people have projected. This is shadow stuff, which is why,
like Queen Elizabeth being a reptilian.
And unfortunately, the information that's out there, except for Dolores's and Bashar's, the majority of it, I feel, is a projection of people's shadow stuff into the cosmos. I can say this. I asked Jim. I said, Jim, how do you feel about the reptilians? He said, Jackie, they're so loving.
Hmm.
He said they totally understand our emotions.
Hmm.
They are the ones that are pushing me to move forward to help with the rainforest, to, you know, take positive action, to do something for the planet. And we've got to move forward to do that.
So it's interesting, we were talking earlier and you brought up the shadow, how the shadow holds the reptilian.
Well, we have a reptilian brain, which is our basic instincts. And, you know, I think that, again, this demarcation line, this fear that we carry that is very instinctual.
About meeting reptiles.
Absolutely, absolutely. And just even our own particular, the wonderful part with Jim is that Jim didn't read anything. Jim and my experience with all of these people, whether it was John Mack, Adrienne DeVere, or Jim Sparks, and myself, these are innocent people going into these experiences who really have no frame of reference. And that's the way it really is intended to be, so that their experiences can be absolutely clean. They don't, you know, I kept saying, do you want me to learn about the body? No. Do you want me to? No.
Be new. Can I have a quick digression here? Why the hive grays and the other grays? Like, is one dominant? Are they more autonomous?
Well, the way that Jim brings it forward is that they are the workers, and Dolores has referred to this as well.
Okay.
They tend to be the ones that implement, that do, you know, they've interacted with this planet for millions of years. They actually showed Jim his life, various lifetimes, through a period of 4 million years.
Hmm. But are the hive ones the worker bees, like that?
Basically, that's, you know, that is Jim's experience with it, yes.
Hmm.
You know, can I say firsthand to you that that's totally, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
Have I ever had an interaction with a small gray that was a direct interaction? No. Tall gray, yes.
Hmm.
And this being is known as the doctor, and when I brought up her name the other night, Jim, his whole countenance shifted.
Mm-hmm.
So he knew who she was. We did not have time to actually discuss this. She's also, or she, he has been involved also with Dolores and the writing of Dolores' books. According to Bashar, who I did ask about this experience that I had, the doctor led me to Dolores within about 48 hours. Stepped forward during a session. I'd never had a gray step forward in any session. I was shocked. I mean, I wasn't offended. I just was shocked. I just kind of went, why are you here?
How do you do?
They just stepped forward, introduced themselves as the doctor, and stepped back. And I knew that this was someone of great importance.
Hmm.
There is always a level of respect and decorum on the other side of the veil.
Hmm.
And I treat all of them that way. So, you know, when someone stepped forward with that level of decorum and presence, there was no question in my mind. But Jim is aware of this being as well. According to Bashar, the doctor interacts with people who are basically on the cutting edge in terms of bringing this all forward in a way that does not shatter consciousness but begins to eliminate fear so that people can begin to open up to the truth of what's been going on for millions of years.
Mm.
For humans, it's, you know, it's interesting, and I'm just going to share this. I know we're running up on the hour. In reading Jim's book, and the name of his book is called The Keeper, Keepers. Excellent book, everybody, and if you can order it on Jim's website, and it's thekeepers.com. It's a quick read. His authenticity just screams out of this. You cannot miss it, not in a million years. If you think Columbo, that's Jim Sparks.
Mm-hmm.
He looks like him, acts like him, walks like him, does everything like him. Nothing contrived, pure heart, loves the earth, loves animals. How he retained his, you know, one of those rare people, and obviously he was groomed, to retain his abilities to be conscious. It took them 6 years to get him through his anger. They taught him their language. And what he did not understand initially is that by learning the language, it blew him open psychically.
Mm.
And it's a very interesting story you have. You may or may not read between the lines. He's going to be a fascinating person on the radio. I really encourage everybody that can to listen to the show. Have your friends around because it'll be a very interesting time. His wife was also an abductee. Interestingly enough, she kept saying to him, we're not supposed to tell people, and she absolutely stonewalled him. She would not support him in his experiences nor in telling anyone. This is not uncommon for people to negate these experiences or to completely rebel against them as part of the program until it's time for people to start becoming aware. What I have found is some people who've been led to us and really highly guided, very directly guided, part of the purpose was for that is for them to come to an understanding, a loving understanding of these experiences. I explained to Jim that we're able to access them without trauma. He thought that was wonderful.
Hmm.
You know, our goal is not to take people to trauma.
Maybe his wife needs to come and be helped.
I'm sorry?
Maybe his wife needs to have a little ET healing here.
Well, he's not married any longer, but I would agree. It
sounds like a programming, and, you know, anyway, it's just a very interesting.
Well, it is interesting, and what I'm seeing now and understanding more and more is the way that this has been so orchestrated to bring this forward now in a more loving way so that people can start awakening and understanding, you know, over again and over again. They said to him, she's ours. She is ours. They said the same thing to my girlfriend Kathleen about her daughter. Kathleen encountered them one night, the one and only time they allowed her to see them. And she said, you know, telepathically, please don't hurt my baby, my daughter. I love her. And their answer was, she's our daughter as well, and we love her. The realization, the opening to the fact that we are part of a larger community can be difficult, and this is not the first planet this has happened on. It certainly won't be the last.
And this interaction's been going on as long as Earth has been populated.
Well, for 4 million years that we know of.
But the technology wasn't as good then.
Not quite. But it's still, they're so far advanced. And, you know, this is the quandary that Dr. Mack had. And on his movie Touched, not only he but other therapists talk about the fact that they don't know if they are from another planet, if they are from another dimension, and even what dimension that is. As one therapist in South America said, Brazilian, people who have these experiences are not crazy, but they can become crazy because of the experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I feel it's so important to give validity to these, to help people who have had them, I have had them as well, to have them to come to a greater understanding, more peace and love with this, rather than feeling that they've been victimized. No one has these experiences unless they agreed to them prior to coming to the planet. That's the biggie.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everyone, it's we're coming to the end of the hour. Next week, Jim Sparks, do try to get his book. Brilliant read. Brilliant read. And very good information. Some of it may be a little difficult to see, you know, his personal turmoil, but what Jim and I both came to understand in our time together was that for whatever reason, in sharing our lives together, we understood that in going through our life experiences, and as tortuous as those may have been, it was necessary for us to develop the level of compassion and understanding that we had to get to in order to do the work we came here to do. I don't say that as a martyr. I say it from a level of understanding, and somehow he and I are both fine with it. So
wonderful. I also enjoyed his the film clip, the DVD.
Yes, there is a film clip. Do you remember the website?
Project Camelot.
Project Camelot, is it .com or .net?
I don't know, either or.
It'll be .net or .com. Project. If you just search Project Camelot and Jim Sparks, it'll come up.
It's a pretty interesting interview, I think.
Excellent interview.
Yeah.
Veronica, give your website, darling.
Veronica, www.veronicaentwistle.com. And my shows are Radiance by Design and Paradigm Shifter from 4 to 5 and then 5 to 6 next Tuesday on BBS Radio.
And, of course, you know, and you don't need the www anymore, honey.
Okay.
We are ET Healing. We love you all. A piece of each and every one of you is in us, and a piece of us is in each and every one of you. It can be no other way. We love you. This information may be somewhat disturbing. Walk through it with an open mind and an open heart. Nothing is going to come get you in the night. There won't be. Nobody's going to intercede. I have been absolutely promised that in bringing this information forward that everyone would be perfectly safe. That's the goal. You really are anyway. And that it's to achieve a greater understanding and more expansion of our consciousness, again, clearing up our shadow, which is where these experiences reside. Good night, everyone. We love you.
Good night, Jackie. Wonderful. I'm looking forward to Jim's...